Welcome to the Wine About History podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And today we're talking about Rollo the Walker, Gangarolf, a sea king and supposedly the first Duke of Normandy, although that is argued because he was technically not a duke. His son was. He was born in 860. And Rollo is in Latinization for the name Hrolf or Wolf. Not much is known about Rollo's background. We know he was a Viking, and his descendants hired monks to write propaganda about their heritage. This was very common at that time to hire monks to write long, ornate histories and other documents saying that you came from good people, but a lot of it was just propaganda. These monks stated that Rollo was descended from Norwegian nobility, while the chronicler Richter of Reims said he was the son of the Viking king Ketil Flatnose. We don't know. All in all, Rollo is a sea king. A sea king is a Viking that's so well respected he could summon an army of Vikings to go raid with him. A sea king could be anyone. It could be a common raider, a thane, a jarl, or an actual king. But the rank was a sign of their leadership. One thing to clarify, Rollo was not the brother of Ragnar Lothbrok. Ragnar died a little when Rollo was a boy. That's something the TV show Vikings has changed to make the show more dramatic and entertaining. So Rollo raided in England, Flanders, and Scotland. He was known to be a competent and fearsome warrior. His nickname, the Walker, comes from the fact that he was so big and strong and heavy, horses couldn't carry him, so he had to walk everywhere. The Vikings were decent horsemen, and they couldn't take their horses on ships, so they had to use whatever horses were around, plow horses, farm horses, work horses, whatever. And in one battle, because they were using these workhorses, these plow horses, the French cavalry were catching up with Rollo. And these were on, they were on good horses bred for war. Rollo saw that they would catch up to them. And Vikings don't like to be in a pitched battle. One thing they would do is if they ever got caught with equal numbers, they'd run up on a hill. And then they had the high ground. What Rollo did in this battle was he had his men form a circle with the horses, slaughtered them to make a fence of dead horses, and put a shield wall behind that so he's in an entrenched position. And the smell of the horse blood scared the French cavalry mount so badly they couldn't make a full charge. And most horses will not charge a shield wall. They don't see it as a bunch of people. They see it as a flat surface like a cliff. Now, eventually, all these raids caused the Franks, also known as the French, a lot of problems. The Viking problem actually caused a common prayer every Sunday. And the priest every Sunday would say, "Lord, save us from the fury of the Northmen." And in 1876, or around that time, because the dates are kind of sketchy, Rollo seized Rouen, which is a French city. And the chronicler Flodoard records that the Robert of the Breton waged a campaign against the Vikings. And they nearly leveled Rouen other settlements. Eventually, he let them take certain coastal provinces, quote-unquote. Now, Dudo says Rollo struck a friendship in England with a king Dudo calls Athelstan. Now, immediately I thought of Athelstein, or Athelstein, a Danish Viking who tried to conquer all of England and nearly did. But he changed his name. His name was Guthrum, and he changed it to Athelstan. And Alfred the Great, his enemy, one of the only two kings we named the Great in English history, baptized him personally, and he was recognized as King of the East Angles in 880. Now, Rollo supposedly took, when he attacked Bayeux, which is a French city, carried off him the beautiful daughter Beringer. And her father was Popa, I'm not trying to pronounce this, Count of Rennes, and married her, and they had a son named William Longsword. And he comes up a lot in Norman history. He was one of the first real Norman dukes. Now, while this is going on, the current Frankish king, Charles the Simple, managed to repel him and fight him for a while. He even defeated Rollo at Chartres, but King Charles had a lot of problems. He was not, you know, but as his name suggests, the greatest king. He was overthrown, actually. So what happened was he had all these Viking problems. So what he did is he made peace with Rollo and put Rollo up in the north to scare off the other Vikings. So they negotiated the Treaty of St. Clair sur Epte, making Rollo a Frankish noble and giving him part of Neustria, which would then later become Normandy. Now, if you want to know more about the Normans and Normandy, the best place to look would be in Lars Brownwolf's podcast, Norman Centuries. So Rollo was fairly Europeanized. He married Gisela, but Vikings also had multiple wives. They were called Danish wives. But he married Gisela, the princess of France, supposedly. Again, remember, this is all rough history. And he was converted to Roman Catholicism, and there's a famous story that he was supposed to acknowledge the king of France, so he had to kiss his foot. But he wouldn't do it, so he had one of his generals do it. So he grabbed him, the general walked up, grabbed the king by the foot, and yanked him out of the chair, his throne, and then kissed his foot and dropped him. So that's typical Danish Viking arrogance for you. So he was a pretty good ruler. We're not entirely sure because, again, a lot of this comes from monk-written propaganda. We do know he died in 930, and when he died, just before he died, he had 100 convicts sacrificed to Odin and gave the church 100 pounds of gold. So he was hedging his bets because he didn't sure when he was going to end up. His successor, William Longsword, his first son, is a very interesting character. And like I said before, if you want to learn more about Normandy and more about how they changed the history of the world, check out Lars Brownworth's Norman Centuries. Thank you for listening. And remember, if it wasn't for history, you wouldn't be.